Philippians chapter 3, and we're reading from verse 7. Philippians 3, and reading from verse 7. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now I want to look this morning at that verse 10, and pray that it might be our desire as well, that I might know him. Is that your desire this morning? That I might know him. Do you know him? Do you know him? We know him so many ways. We know him as Saviour. Do we know him as Lord? Do we know him as Sovereign Lord? Do we know him fully? Is there more to know? You see, many know about Jesus. And there are many people sitting in churches today who know about Jesus. But Paul is talking about a real relationship with the Lord. One of the things you realise when you read some of the liberal theologians is they're not talking about somebody that they know. They're talking about somebody from history. We need to move into that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we know him, that we walk with him, that we talk with him day by day and moment by moment. Paul is talking about, as I said, a real relationship with the Lord. And it's a journey which begins with that new birth. Amen. Becoming a new creature, new creation in Christ Jesus. And that new creation abides and can abide in heavenly places. And no fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Father in a real and wonderful way. It begins with that new birth experience. It doesn't begin with knowing all the facts that you can gather together about Jesus, about the Bible, about the New Testament, but it's asking him into our hearts and lives to do that saving work which reconciles us to God and which brings us into a glorious and wonderful fellowship with him, born again of his Spirit. You see, Paul had that tremendous experience on the road to Damascus when the Lord met him. It was a wonderful encounter. It stayed with Paul. And the rest of his life, it was a starting point. It was a new beginning. It was a turning point. And Paul knew that wonderful salvation of God. And Ananias came and prayed for him. Brother Saul, he said, you're in the family of God. Brother Saul. In 2 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 18, the final verse of this epistle of Peter. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. If you've known the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord, if you've been born again of his Spirit, then grow in grace. Grow day by day. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. However well we know him now, we can know him more. We can know him better. We can know a closer relationship. Closer and closer. And however close we get, tomorrow we can get even closer. And it will go on like that, if we're going on with the Lord, until one day we're called up to be with him. Hallelujah. Whether with the dead who are raised, or whether with those who are still alive and are called up to be with him in the air. And we'll be with him forever. Close with the Lord. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go on with him. Day by day, moment by moment, knowing death to the old life living in that attitude that the old is dead and the new has come and we're alive in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. That I may know him, says Paul. And you think, well, Paul, you've had such a fantastic conversion experience. You've had such a wonderful walk with the Lord. What are you talking about? That you may know him. Paul realized that there was more growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing in a real practical way in our lives, death of the old life. Death of the old life. See, it's so easy to get drawn back into the old ways. But if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, as it says in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. We keep our eyes on him. Know that the old has been dealt with, the old is dead, and we have been raised, as it says, to walk in newness of life, putting the Lord Jesus Christ, putting him on day by day. In Romans 13 and verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and do not make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ day by day, moment by moment. In Colossians, in chapter 3, there are some wonderful words of exhortation which are appropriate here. And I'll read from Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Here it is. You claim you know the Lord. You claim that you have and know resurrection life. Then here's the challenge. Here's the exhortation. Don't stand still. Move forwards and upwards. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. The New Testament keeps directing our eyes heavenward. And we so often are being pulled by the world around us to look at things earthly. And we get tied up with all the things we have got to do from an earthly point of view. And the Lord exhorts us in his word to look heavenward. If you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. It's something we have to keep challenging people with these days, and ourselves. It's something we have to keep challenging ourselves in the 21st century, in the country in which we live, with all the things that are available in the world around us, which seem so harmless. But if they're pulling our eyes away from Jesus, if they're pulling our eyes away from that heavenly walk, then these things of the world are dangerous. No matter how all right they might seem to be in the world that we're living, in the country that we're living in. We need to make sure that we've not been pulled off that heavenward walk, that heavenly walk. We've not been pulled off course by compromising a worldly way of life with a spiritual way of life, a heavenly way of life. It can't be done, but we think it's okay. These are the last days. These are the last days. We may seem to have everything that we want and need these days, and it's so much better today than it was 50 years ago, 60 years ago, when there weren't so many things available. But look at the world. It's in a mess, it's in a state. It's heading for destruction. There's not long to go before Jesus comes. It's not long to go before judgment comes. They preached these things in the 19th century with fervour. People got saved. And here we are over 100 years later, and we can say with great assurance, judgment is coming. Don't get your heart tied up with things of this world that are coming under judgment. God provides every need. God provides all that we need. But don't be pulled off course by the things of this age, which seem so harmless, which everybody else is doing, which so many Christians are involved in. Get back to the Word of God. See what the Lord says. If you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, that I may know him. That was his constant desire for his entire walk on this earth, to that moment when, a few seconds before his death, he was still maintaining, that I may know him more and more. Hallelujah. And he says here in Philippians 3 and verse 7, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection, the power of that new life, victorious over death. That's what resurrection is. It's new life which has conquered death. It's victorious over death. And that I may know, says Paul, the power of his resurrection. We've been raised to walk in newness of life with him. And we give him the praise. We give him the glory. In Romans chapter 6, Paul speaks there in chapter 6 about baptism. And he says, we are buried with him, in verse 4, by baptism into death. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There's that resurrection experience that we have when we're saved, when we're born again in the Spirit. We've been raised from the dead, as it were. We've been raised to walk in newness of life. And in Ephesians 2, we get a revelation of where we really are when we're in the Lord and we're walking and living in the power of his resurrection. In Ephesians 2 and verse 4 to 6 it says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he's quickened us, he's made us alive together with Christ, by grace you are saved. And he has raised us up. That's resurrection life. He's raised us from the dead. The death of the old life. Don't keep clinging to the things of the old life and the old ways. No matter how innocent they might seem. It's death. He's raised us up. Amen. Together. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where are we? We've been raised. We've ascended. Spiritually. Sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful experience this is. And the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection in these days. Let's beware of falling into a rut of the usual and what we've got used to in just coming to church and then living the rest of our lives as if we were like anybody else in the world, having the same aims as other people in the world. Let's get a revival. Let's get a new vision. The vision that we're given here in the scripture, that we are new creations in Christ Jesus and we can know him. Paul's crying out that I may know him and that we can know the power of his resurrection, resurrection life. Hallelujah. Victorious over death, victorious over all the claims of the things of the world, that we might live in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, which is where we have been raised up to be. Even now, if we're living that life. And what else does he say? And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, not so sure about that one. And the fellowship of his sufferings. It's sharing together, having in common with Jesus his sufferings. But you know, it's the only route to resurrection. Death is the only route to resurrection. You can't be resurrected until you've died. And it's dying to self, dying to the old life, which we see across the country today. So many Christians don't seem to have that experience of dying to the old life. And it seems to be in the teachings nowadays of the churches that you can enjoy all that as well. It's death to the old life. There's a power of resurrection life that we can live in a different level. We can live in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, raised to be with him. And we will know the fellowship of his sufferings. You see, the Bible says when Jesus came, the prophecy in Isaiah was that he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And that's as a result of our attitude as unsaved people, our attitude and generations is the worldly attitude concerning Jesus. Or that we might know, says Paul, or that I might know the fellowship of his sufferings, sharing in common with him. In Romans 8 and verse 17, there's a little condition. Romans 8 and verse 17, there's a little condition. And all we don't always want to look at conditions, but let's look at it. Romans 8, 17. He's talking some wonderful things here. I'll read into it from verse 16. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Wow, thank you, Lord. If so be that we suffer with him. Ah, that's the bit. If so be that we suffer with him. We're living in a world that is against Christ. Against the things of the Lord. Jesus endured that suffering for us. The fellowship of suffering. If we're going to stand with the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we're going to know the power of resurrection life, we're also going to know the attitude of the world to those that live such lives. There's a tolerance today, but it's a tolerance that won't last. It's a tolerance that won't last. It's put up with today, but you read the Bible, it won't last. There are coming days which are terrible days. We read about them in the New Testament. Paul spoke about them to Timothy. In the last times, in the end times, terrifying times will come. Terrible times will come. We've got to be prepared to stand with the Lord in the fellowship of his sufferings. But in the fellowship of his sufferings, knowing the power of his resurrection, of life in the heavenlies. When Paul wrote to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, he said, yes, and all, not some, not everyone except those who are living in England, not everyone except those who are living in the West. He says, all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Are we prepared to stand? Are we prepared to stand? Well, things are nice at the moment. We're tolerated. Even the old market manager tolerates us up to a point. It's the attitude of the world. And he is quite tolerant. He is quite tolerant. But all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We've got a wonderful message to share. All that, you read the book of Acts, read what Paul went through. But he was full of joy because he was preaching the gospel. He was full of joy because in everything he suffered, Jesus Christ was being glorified as victory followed victory. And from those things that he suffered, there were opportunities. Look at that. The wonderful example we have in the scriptures of what happened at Philippi when he and Silas were put into the innermost dungeon and left. Terrible place to be. They were feet and hands tied. That was it. You've got to think of all the consequences of being like that. Have you ever thought about it? They're in the filth of this dungeon. I don't know about you, but as I'm getting older, I can't get through the night without paying a visit to the loo. What did they do? What did they do? Hours on end, chucked a crust every now and again. What did they do when they wanted to go to the toilet? Don't talk about things like this in church. Disgusting. That's not something nice. They couldn't move. What did they do? They messed themselves. They didn't care about prisoners in those days. That's what happened. It's all tidied up when you see people doing paintings of these things and all the rest of it. It's all made to look very nice, but it was terrible. And Paul was willing to go through that because it brought the opportunity to preach the gospel. You think, well, how is that going to give the opportunity? Well, it did. Read the story. There was an earthquake as they sang praises to God. In that state, in that condition, in that filth, they were singing praises to God. They weren't writing letters to their MP complaining about the state of things. They were praising God. Because out of that situation, out of that earthquake, came the opportunity for salvation, for the message of the gospel to be proclaimed. When the jailer was about to kill himself, salvation came. Hallelujah. And you know, that jailer, he took them, he bathed them and their wounds and all the filth and all the rest of it. Hallelujah. What a result. What a consequence. All who will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. And Paul speaks in Galatians, doesn't he? Of being crucified with Christ. Crucified, the things of the world, as far as he was concerned, were crucified to him. The things of the world were crucified to him and he to the world. He knew that death. Dead to sin, but alive unto God. All these verses here in Philippians are quite remarkable. That I may know him. Is that the desire this morning? Yes, praise the Lord. And the power of his resurrection. Praise God, yes, we'll have that. But there's a price in this world. And the fellowship of his sufferings. The world doesn't want it, you see. But we do. And then it goes on to say, being made conformable unto his death. That word being conformable is being shaped with his death. But if we suffer with him, we'll know his glory. Because it says in Romans 8 and verse 17, if children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs. If so be, here it is again, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Well, praise God for that. We're made conformable unto his death. But in him we have life. In Matthew 16 and verse 24, he says, if anyone, this is Jesus speaking, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself. This is the action of faith, saying no to self, take up his cross and follow me. The cross speaks of death. Death to all that was of the old life. Following Jesus is embracing all that is of the new life in Christ Jesus. Resurrection life. Yes, there'll be sufferings. Yes, there'll be oppositions. But praise God. Praise God. We can know the power of his resurrection life. And when we read on in Matthew 16, I'll just finish with these verses. Matthew 16, I'll just quote verse 24. Matthew 16 and verse 24, he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Or let that challenge, let that question speak to us this week, Lord, that we might live for him, that we might question decisions that we make. Are they the right decisions? Are they the decisions that are of the world and of a worldly thing? Or are they decisions for the Lord? We must live for him and know him in a fuller way. Power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. May the Lord bless you and keep you in Jesus' name, and use you this week for his glory. Amen.